Hello, everybody. My name is Lara Eady, and we're back with another episode of The Notes Between, a podcast focused on incredible female singer-songwriters. And my next guest is also called Lara. Her name is Lara De Belder. Hello, Lara.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Yes, fellow Lara. This is going to be great. So folks, it's so great that this isn't a written interview, because if it was, it would be really confusing because you'd have Lara E, Lara B. I am so excited to talk to Lara this morning, stemming from the Zoom call in Athens to, where are you now, Lara?
Oh my goodness, I'm born in the south of Lincolnshire, near Peterborough.
Beautiful. And so today's podcast is going to be all about Lara De Belder. She's an incredible, incredible, multi-talented singer, songwriter, actress. I don't know where to start. All I'll say is that she is a wonderful human as well. And if you've noticed, folks, there's a trend in my podcast. Whoever comes on is not just incredibly talented, but incredibly humane. And so I'm just going to go ahead and introduce you a little bit, Lara, if that's okay. Feel free to chime in. So Lara is originally, as she just said, from North Yorkshire. She's an actor, singer, and writer. She studied music at the University of Leeds before training in musical theater at the Royal Academy of Music in London. Wow. So with this fantastical musical background, she's really delved in the worlds of choral and classical music, musical theater, jazz, blues, and pop. And she's also worked as a performer in theater, film, TV, concerts, and is also, very exciting, the co-writer and creator, wow, of new British comedy musical Bird Brigade, alongside Luca Anthony Bjelis, directed by Grace Taylor, featured in the musical Six, you know, that award-winning musical, and long-listed for the Styles and Drew Mentorship Award from 2021. Wow. Okay, Lara, are you excited to speak about your incredible career?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me, Lara. This is such a joy.
Oh, this is already off to a great start. I am going to delve in and just really, I think the listeners just want to know who you are and your role as a songwriter, as this podcast is focused on the world of songwriting. So I'll start by saying, as we've just heard in your very, very small, you know, text that I'm reading off for your bio, because your bio is so much more than what is written, as we both know. Your background as a trained singer in the classical and musical theater world has really led you to make a very, very specific name for yourself, not just as a lead singer, but as an in-demand writer. Can you talk to us a little bit about that journey and what it's been like sort of discovering yourself time and time again?
Oh my goodness, yes. Gosh, well, as a writer, you know, it didn't really start until, I have to say, the pandemic. And it was something that I really wanted to do. But I didn't really believe in myself, if I'm completely honest. There was a long time where I was really busy with performance projects, and I was starting to arrange music. I was doing arranging for a pop a cappella group that I was co-running, and I really enjoyed it. And it would be in the back of my mind, like, oh, you know, maybe writing. But, you know, that little voice would just be like, ah, you know, you're probably not good enough. So I just never really gave it much time. Mm. And then obviously for us all, the bizarre time of COVID hit, and I found myself, you know, without those projects. So, you know, when it comes to the silver lining of various challenging things, I'm really glad I had the opportunity to finally jump in and say, okay, well, you know what, this is the time, why not? And because producers initially, as I'm sure you know as well, like, they were initially out of work too, so I started writing with a couple of producers and just throwing ideas around. It was a lovely time on Zoom, as we a lot of us had.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the beginning was. And I also write, you know, I have a dear friend that I write with, another pop artist, Nick Chipetta, but his artist name is NIC, but we were doing a lot together as well, and we still do. So kind of teaming up with other creatives over that time, and just nurturing that side of me that had always, I guess, wanted to be expressed and I hadn't allowed to be expressed, was where it all began. And then of course I also met with Luca over that time, who I co-wrote the musical with, and very similar thing, you know, he came to me saying, I've always wanted to write together, what could we do? And then we started that journey, which has become Bird Brigade. So yeah, kind of organically came out of a crazy time.
Well, this is great because I think as artists, we have, well, we have many responsibilities, as we spoke about briefly, but I think the main responsibility is sort of, if I can sort of explain this as clearly as possible, we have an awareness of what it's like to constantly redefine our role. And it's interesting that you say, like a lot of artists, as you said, a lot of female artists in particular, how the pandemic sort of ignited this fire in you, the songwriting fire that, you know, you didn't want to, or at least I'm guessing you didn't just want to be, although that's already amazing, a singer, you're actually a composer, you know. And I think oftentimes this conception of what it means to be a singer-songwriter is very, very constrictive. So I'd like to ask, did you, having said that the pandemic inspired you and working with Luca, working with, you know, in the wonderful world of Zoom, did you, in this journey, did you always feel that you were a songwriter? And what does it mean really to be a songwriter for you, Lara?
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Gosh, it's so interesting. I think for me, it started like experimentation. You know, screw it, why not just dive in and try it? I think coming from a theatre background, for me, I don't want to paint the you know, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I would say my experience is when we're trained in theatre, there are certain things that we need to be able to do. And so in a weird way, like we are creative beings, but there are elements of that training which can sometimes inhibit creativity in some ways. So it's quite a journey to then unpick that and discover who am I as an artist and a creative underneath that. So, you know, I think I'm very grateful for that background because I'm the kind of person that if you throw me a brief or an idea and you say, this is what I want, I'm really good at just taking that on and delivering it. And I really enjoy it. It's almost like a puzzle. I'm like, okay, this is what you want. I can create that for you. But I think one of the big journeys for me has been like, what do I want to create? You know, like, what, who am I? What's my voice? And I'm just really grateful for that experimentation time because it allowed me to just try things. And I feel like I'm still, I am, you know, it's fairly new for me, this. So like I am writing and I can write to brief and I love doing that, but it's a new journey for me, like as Lara de Belder, as an artist, it will grow and it will change. And yeah, I think I'm just being very open to seeing what that is, and I'm not trying to label it too much. I'm being free with the music, you know.
So a lot of what you said is really, really interesting, Laura. And I just want to go back and unpick something you said about how, coming from a musical theater background, that experience proved to be somewhat limiting. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's so creative training, you know, in a drama school or any kind of environment like that. But at the end of the day, there is an element of there's a context there. Like there you are training to go into an industry where there are certain shows, certain roles, certain things, and therefore there are things that you need to be able to do to fit into those contexts that already exist, if that makes sense. So, you know, there's a lot of, there can be a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, but there's a lot of emphasis on, can you belt this certain note? Can you do this certain thing? Can you do a double pirouette or whatever it is? You know, there's things that one needs to be able to say, yes, I can achieve that so that I can fit into that mold. But I think sometimes within that, because of those quote unquote limitations, I think, you know, it can be easy to slip down the slide of not really focusing on one's artisticness and creativity, and instead it's like the focus is I need to be able to do this thing.
For
So
sure.
that can be limiting, you know? So that's what I mean. I think, and I've met lots of, I work with a lot of West End performers, and it's been really interesting. I think some of them, things are gradually changing, but it does depend on where they've trained and who's been teaching them and the kind of ethos that they've had to pass to them. But I do see a lot of, I'd say stage performers, some of them struggle with this idea of artisticness, like who am I as an artist? Because they've been told and dictated to, you have to be this, you have to fit in this mold and all of that.
I hear you. And well, I'm going to quote unquote, throw something back at you, I feel, knowing your beautiful, growing portfolio career, which is, I kind of like that word, portfolio career. I did it at first when a teacher at Guildhall told me, because I was like, what the hell is a, what does that mean, portfolio career? But then when you think of a portfolio, it's endless. And there's so many, there's so much content to be discovered. So that's what I mean. It's a good thing, I think. And I feel that you've always been a songwriter. I think that every singer who trains and sort of marries the music, as you do in the world of musical theater, you ultimately, even if you don't want to, you end up becoming a composer or an inexperienced to start with composer. So I always felt that you were a songwriter. And with that, we're going to go ahead and play the song that you wrote, the very first song released under your artistic name, called Turn It Over. Have a listen, folks. Stop dancing in my chair. I've been actually dancing all morning because I love that song. Can you very briefly because I know I could spend hours with you, but you know, this is a limited time, unfortunately, dear Laura. Can you talk to us about the creative process of what it was to write that song?
Oh my goodness, yeah, turn it over. Well, funnily enough, I've been writing some other things, and then I thought, well, if I'm gonna start this project, I need something that has a lot of energy. And in my head, I was like, I need a kapow, like something that goes, boof, here I am. And so I kind of, that wasn't the most organic one for me. I sat down and thought, I need something. And I came up with this ba ba da ba da ba ba da ba da, because I love, you know, close harmony, jazz vocals. I used to listen to things like the Andrew Sisters growing up, and I love those kind of tight female vocals. So I thought, I'll take that and I'll put that into the world of pop and see what comes. And then I'm really into bass lines, so I had this kind of bass line coming as well, and that was the beginning. And then once I had the initial idea, it flowed quite easily, actually, that one.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really fun. And then the producer Joe, he did some real magic on it. It's really, really cool what he's created. So yeah, very, very grateful to him.
This is amazing. And what's the song about? What is Turn It Over about for you?
Oh, Turn It Over. So it's about, so when I was at university, there was a time when I'm going to be completely honest, I had a bit of an obsession with this girl there.
Yeah.
And it was a very confusing time. And I wanted to depict that in music, I suppose, this idea of just going over and over in your head, like, did she say that thing? I thought that she did. I'm sure she looked at me in that way. But what if she was very, it was a very confusing time. She would be one way in certain contexts and then treat me completely different in others. So,
yeah.
But it was me that ended up with the obsession, that kind of going over it in my head. And it really had an impact in my life and my relationship at the time that ended up ending because of it. So it was, I wanted to show that. And I actually created a music video that was set in a church, and the idea, because I actually really like, being a queer person, it might seem a weird thing for me to say I like churches, but because I grew up with choral music,
yeah.
I love choral music, and I always connotate that with the ambience of being in a church. I love them as buildings. I wanted to set this idea. I had a very clear idea of being in a church and almost being at confession. You know,
wow.
This is this obsession I've had, and going over it, and it's almost this kind of secret, you enjoy the secret a little bit too much, if that makes sense. So,
I love it. Oh, I love this. I love every, exactly. And you know, we know from relationships, it's, well, let's be honest, Laura. I mean, the bulk of songwriting is about, you know, human relationships, whether it's between lovers or friends or phantasmagorical. I don't know how I came up with that word, but it does exist. I just, you know, relationships, it's true. And I love how open you're being about it, which is always how I wish my guests to feel. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm going to sort of extract a little bit of what you said and talk about, what do you think sort of in, what's the word? What do you think, in one word, if you had to explain who you were in terms of your musical identity, what would that word be?
Oh,
it's hard. I know it's hard. It could be two.
It's okay. Yeah. At the moment, I will go with the word that I've kind of, it's an amalgamation of words, but I'll go with jazz pop right now. I think that will change over time, because I actually really love folk music as well. And I want to bring, you know, but yeah, jazz pop, something that I love pop music. And at the end of the day, my music is all rooted in pop, but I have all these influences and flavors, and I have jazz, swing, blues, hip hop, even R&B. So bringing that together, jazz pop, I think is the best term for that.
Gorgeous and well done, because it's very hard to do that. And I know that we talk about not being pigeon boxed and pigeonholed or whatever the word is. I'm losing all my words this morning. Never mind. you're very eloquently just bringing them out of me, so that's fine. And I want to say that it's true. We don't like to be put in boxes, but for the sake of journalism and music journalists, I know from also being a music journalist myself, sometimes it does help to have hashtags or words that are relatable that can help sort of direct the audience to who you are. Now I'll ask you a follow-up question, and then we're going to play another beautiful track of yours, It's All Over. Who is Laura de Belder as an artist?
Oh, what a question. Laura, you're
I
throwing all
know.
these wow. Vampire as an artist. Oh my goodness me. I'm trying to think, how can I summarize that as much as I can? I mean, to really come down to simplification, I think for me, there's a big theme about connection for me, actually. I find for me that music and singing and arts in general is like a sacred communication channel. Like I can communicate with people and I feel that back from them in a way that it's putting music to words in that way and then embodying it through our bodies. That is so sacred to me. So I'd say as an artist, like I want to connect with people. I want to inspire, to empower. I really do want there to be a message somewhere underneath it, whether it's something that you pick up or not, that's up to you. But something to really wake something up in people and for them to get joy and an opportunity to even transform in their own lives, just leave with a sense of, huh, no, I haven't looked at it that way, or well, that really evoked something in me. So yeah, I think connection and empowerment is who I am.
Gorgeous. Well, you just summed it up very nicely. Lara is looking at me going like, why such a huge question?
I love it.
But I knew she would answer it. She's one of the few who could very sort of eloquently draw the threads of all that's going on in that mind of hers and heart. And as you said, it's the connection. It is a sacred connection. Being a musician in itself or a singer, you know, you often are challenged to find that connecting space between mind and heart and body. I mean, that's if that's not, like you said very beautifully, a sort of very simple way of defining what we do and why we do it, because we don't just do it for the audience, we do it for ourselves. It's always going to be some sort of therapy, you know, self-therapy, I think. And with that said, I think being a woman in this industry, as you mentioned, my favorite word of the day, empowerment of the month, I would say, it's about cheering that on, not just creating a space to feel empowered, but about being empowered when you perform. You know, and I think that watch, because I've seen you perform and I've seen you do a really gorgeous rendition of your track with the London Gay Big Band, your track It's All Over, which we're going to hear. And I've seen you perform it and I thought, wow, the life that you poured into that as a singer, having composed that as a songwriter, it was just magical to watch because you felt empowered. You released all your emotions. And that's the difficult thing about being a singer-songwriter, but more importantly, a female singer-songwriter, because you have to deliver that time and time again. And why do I, you know, focus on being a female so much? Well, for other than obvious reasons, it's about just coming onto the stage as Lara de Belder and saying, this is me. Never mind the costume I'm wearing. Never mind who I am. This is me. This is my music. This is what I want to say. That should be enough. But I think, I don't know, well, I think you'll agree with this. We've seen time and time again how sometimes it's not enough. And you mentioned that at the very beginning of our podcast session where you were saying that when is it going to be enough that I can just go on stage, sing my song, and earn my space? Because that's essentially what we are forced to do and prove ourselves time and time again, as opposed to just, you know, I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Most men just walk on stage in whatever they want to wear, say nonsensical things, perform, and people dig it, you know? But us, we have to have the whole package deal. I don't know. Do you agree? You don't have to agree. This is a conversation.
Wow, that's I'm yeah, but I'm touched by your courage just to say that openly as well. Like I'm thinking to myself as well because I'm like, gosh, there is a lot of truth in that. I sense. I think for me as well. I whether this is luck or not, it's not luck. But I think because I work with a lot of other queer people, and this is a lot of my male friends as well. I think that I see the same pressures on them in
I
terms of.
understand.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and there is a show. There's something that they feel that they need to prove as well. That's what I've noticed from that community, and maybe that's because I'm coming from that community as well. But I totally get what you mean. There is always pressure on a female singer to be. I think not always, but attractive, and that can be a focus, whether it's even something that is conscious or not. I think it's interesting what you're saying, because I'm considering now the jazz scene, you know. You know, because you know my partner is a trumpeter, and like
Charlotte Keith in the house.
Yes. And we've had lots of conversations around this, because there's that typical thing of when you're a woman and you walk into the jazz, things are changing. They are changing gradually, but it depends what kind of circle you walk into. But certain scenes you go on and it's, oh, you all right, love, are you the singer tonight? There's always this, always the assumption that the girl is the singer. Now, because I am the singer, you know, it's a different thing for me, but I'll get labeled as that. And you're kind of seen as the thing that they want to watch. You're like the pretty one, or the fit, whatever it is that they've decided you are. You're like, that's that person we're going to put in the front because she looks nice as well. And she can wear a dress or whatever. So I like to stand up there in a full suit. Thank you.
Yes.
And you know, and just be like, this is what I like, this is what I'm into, this is my music. I really try not to think too much about that when I'm up there. There is an element of the showness of it, and I really appreciate that, and I think coming from a theater background, I really love that, but I don't focus on it when I'm performing.
Wonderful, Laura. Thank you for being so beautifully honest. So we're going to go ahead and play her track, It's All Over. Have a listen, folks.
I know where you've been. It's written all over your face. I know your lies and your little games, but you've tried to hide it all the same. And you know what I've seen. I've seen you all over the place. And I don't need to know a name. You know you put our love to shame. So much has been said, but never once did I hear the thoughts you had going round in your head. You left a love for dead. And I should then turned to nothing, and it's all over. And there's no in between. You're either in this or you're out. I know you never meant to fall, but now it's clear that you're a dropout. And you know what this means. You know there won't be no time.
It's All Over. What a track. What a track. Lara's just dancing away. I am thinking back to what you said. It's true, because I mean, if you think of people in the queer community, which I don't know as many as I should, I'll be openly honest about that. I guess coming from a straight world, I don't know if that even ensues. I don't even know.
The straight world.
Coming from straight world. What is that? Oh. We should write a song about the straight world. That should be a theme song. You see, folks, I hope you're laughing along with us, because you see, correct me if I'm wrong, but inspiration comes from the silliest of statements sometimes, does it not? Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And I love comedy as well. You know, Bird Brigade is a comedy musical. So you be careful, Lara, because the next scene, I will write straight world. I'll write it.
Oh, man. I'll probably come in as a guest and say, like, yeah, this is what it's like to be straight. Actually, I love talking about this stuff, as you know. And I think this is what we want to, I really want to shed light on all the silliness and the things that inspire us, which no one would ever think inspires us. Like, I remember going to Scotland in the summer, and I know you've performed at the Fringe as well. And God, the name of the show escapes me now, but you know how you go to the Fringe and there's so much on and you come away feeling inspired. So one of the shows that I saw was focused a lot on gender roles, gender politics. And I thought, okay, because we've been talking about this for so long. So I really just wanted to sit back and listen along with my musical friends in the audience. And I was blown away because the straight character was actually performed, and I know him, and I'm not going to say his name to protect him, was performed by a queer artist. And he was brilliant. He was just, you know, embodying this machismo and everything. And all the songs were so witty and cleverly crafted to say how he was like, okay, well, what can I call you now? Do I call you queer? Do I call you non-binary? Are you a she, he, it? And it went off, you know, the whole comedy spiral. And then, you know, all the other characters, it was really great. It was set in a bathroom stall, you know, locked in a bathroom stall for an hour altogether, which was just, you know, great for comedic purposes. And what I took away from that was it does matter. In our day and age, it actually, whether we like to admit it or not, you and I excluded, it kind of, every single artist I know doesn't go ahead and say, I am Lara. I am straight. I come from a Middle Eastern Canadian background. I perform this music. Now, and then you have other artists say, well, I am Lara. I am a queer artist. This is my music. It's not like we go on stage saying that, but we find the ways to express our identity. Even if you go back to the 60s, I mean, that whole time was about creating an identity of what? Of anti-war stance, of protest songs, of embracing bisexuality. I mean, people, well, I know you don't, but people forget this, that it wasn't just about the music, it was about the messages and identity behind the music. So all this to say, I'm really grateful for people like you that are, you know, owning that or re-owning that and saying, this isn't just us coming on stage and saying, hello, this is who I am, this is my music. You're coming from a long line of historical facts and figures that have inspired you and given you that voice to redefine yourself. That's my take on all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's impossible to take anything without a contextual element to it. You know, we're all a sign of the times. I know we were talking about this earlier, so yeah, it doesn't mean you have to go up there and be like, I'm gonna say, you know, my music is this, I'm gonna throw it in your face, and just this is what but you know, you are a product of what you are, and it will come out in you, whether it's through your music, your lyrics, maybe what you wear, like it will be there, and then it's down to you how much I guess you want to share. But I do think it's very inspiring for people to have representation and to see something and go, oh, you know, see a reflection of themselves in someone. I think that's, it's really important.
Of course, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, context, as you said so yourself, is super important, especially in this day and age where over the last, I will say this, over the last maybe 20 years or so, the internet has helped expose beautiful music to the world, but it's also confused a lot of people as to who is the artist. And you know, it's confused a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. And if we had a whole other hour, we would talk about the confusion of the music industry and the internet, obviously. But since the focus is on a wonderful you, I will say this, that I love the very discreet yet powerful way in which you keep reminding people of the context. For instance, the fact that you created, and we don't have much time left, but you've created this wonderful musical, Bird Brigade, and that's sort of your story and everyone else's story in the community. And I think this is a wonderful way of Lara de Belder shifting gear and saying, okay, I don't have to perform this, but hey, I can write about it. So talk to us a little bit, because we don't have much time left.
Oh yeah. No, that. I know, Bird Brigade. Oh my goodness. Well, me and Luca, like we're the writers of this show, and it is, you know, it's in development, and it does take a long time. It's a big journey writing a musical, and but it, to give in a nutshell, what we've created, what we wanted to do, with a lot of tongue-in-cheek, very silly humor. You know, there's a lot of tits and bums. There's a lot of those kind of jokes. You know, very silly. We're both from the north originally. I know I don't sound it, but Luca's got, he's a Geordie, and I'm from the northeast of England. And we wanted to bring together different regional aspects of the UK, throw them all mm-hmm. together in this crazy world and see what happens. And it's kind of for us a reflection of, well, for me in particular, a lot of the polarities we're seeing in the world right now. And that doesn't matter whether it's around Brexit or whether it's around, there's numerous issues we could bring up that has completely polarized people.
Yeah.
And yeah. I wanted something that, and also generationally as well, you know, a big part of our show is that our protagonist, she is this kind of young Gen Z kid who has really good intentions. Yeah, I mean, she does. I mean, we called her Greta as a joke against Greta Thunberg. You know, like, yeah, that is who she is. But we wanted to also paint her in her bad light too, because she has all these good intentions, but she also is very, very arrogant. She's a little bit lost in herself. She kind of means well, but she's got a bit of a God complex going on. Mm. So we wanted to take her for all she is, and then this world where we have the villain, who is this older woman. She would be, you know, labeled as a boomer, so to speak, and she would be, you know, she's northern. She none of this work business going on. You know, just enough's enough, and she wants to toughen up the kids. By the way, this is all set in a kind of a scout camp type environment. So we've created our own world called the Bird Brigade. It's an imaginary youth group. And she wants to bring back the old days, the days of yore. And she wants to turn the camp into this wonderful kind of Churchill-inspired slave camp, where she's like, let's make camp great again, people. Let's make camp great again. So that's basically what it is. So it's kind of those, you see them put together, and good versus evil, that kind of stuff. But we wanted to say more than that, because I think the world, it's very black and white. It's saying good versus evil. And you know what? It's never that black and white. It's very complex. We wanted to bring out all the kind of complexities and get people having these conversations, but with comedy. Like, let's be lighthearted about it, because there's so much comedy that can be found in these difficult things going on right now. And so we think comedy, and music opens up things in a different way for people.
Cheers to that, Lara. Wow. I really want to highlight that, but I am going to highlight something else, because very, very quickly, I cannot believe we have 4 minutes left. This is so annoying. I want to go and see Bird Brigade like right now.
Yes.
I want to just very quickly ask you. We barely have time. Okay, here we go. Very, very quick. Where can people find your music and know about Bird Brigade?
And your goodness. So you can find me on all socials under my name, at Lara de Belder.
Great.
And then through that, you can find Bird Brigade. It's just at, I think it's at Bird Brigade Musical is the musical. But anything that I'm doing on my channels, obviously, and then Bird Brigade on those channels, yeah.
Fantastic. And now I am going to tell everyone on social media to go and see and hear and be amazed by Lara de Belder's first debut solo show. Amazing. As part of the London Jazz Festival on November the
16th.
Yes, at Toulouse-Lautrec. It's a gorgeous venue. I love that venue. It's got a great piano. And I can't wait for people to go and see Lara. Sadly, I won't be one of them. But I will say this, if I can, it's not plugging my own music. I'm just very grateful that the first outing of my song Breathe Love, which has come out of my new album, is actually going to be performed by Lara. And I'm very, very, very honored about that, because it's another Lara, and it's a beautiful Lara de Belder, and she's going to perform it in London. So I'm very grateful that you're going to do that, Lara, I have to say.
I can't wait. Thank you for, you know, giving me that permission.
Oh my gosh. No. And if you're listening on, folks, which is something I really wanted to explore with Lara, it's about how being a successful musician is all about community. So when egos don't exist, it's good to have a little bit of ego, but when you push egos aside, you can create meaningful, lasting musical relations, which is what I've done with Lara, and what Lara de Belder has done with so many people, both in the jazz and pop and musical theater worlds, which is something that I don't know a lot of people have achieved. So I salute you. And so I'm going to go ahead and play, I can't believe it's the end of our podcast, your song Overtime, which is super fun and super great. And you'll just get in the groove. You can have it on repeat, as I will, all day long. And very, very quickly, Lara de Belder, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so thrilled for you and your debut show as part of the London Jazz Festival on November the 16th at Toulouse-Lautrec. It's been a joy having you. And I hope that your career just continues to grow, and you continue to just show those many voices of yours, your creative side, your writing side, your songwriter side, your performer side. If there is one sentence that you'd like to give as parting words, I know Lara's like, why, Lara, why? For the next generation, what advice would that be?
I can't even say the word. Philosophy essential. This should be called philosophy with Lara Edie. Okay, one sentence. My God, it's probably going to be a long one, knowing me. No, it doesn't have to be. I would say have the humility and the bravery to discover yourself and to open your heart to others and really see them. That's what I would say.
If you want to go and be philosophical and sum up life's wisdom in one sentence, contact lauradebelder.com. Oh my gosh, woman. It's been an absolute joy. This has been The Notes Between with Lara Edie featuring Lara de Belder, supported by Women in Jazz Media. See you later.
Bye.
Put your hands out, baby. Come and tell me all the things I already know. Don't even think about it, baby. You're working overtime and do, but down. Come on and turn around now, baby. Let me pull you in and show you everything I know. I know you think about me, baby. Working overtime and do, but down. Yeah. Do, but down. Oh no. put your hands out, baby. Come and tell me all the things I already know. Don't even think about it, baby. You're working overtime and do-do-do-ba-da. Come on and turn around now, baby. Let me pull you in and show you everything I know. I know you think about me, baby. Working overtime and do-do-do-ba-da now, baby. Hell, I like what you say and you know how to say it. Hell, I like how you move and you know how to move it. And I know what to do, so come on, let me do it. Working overtime. You got me spinning around and around and around and around, yeah. Ooh. Come on and put your hands. About it, baby. You're working on.